welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us here on the program. We come your way every Saturday, normally from 3 to 4 p.m., but during baseball season, it's either later in the evening at 7 or sometimes on Sundays at 3 p.m. This one's at 7 p.m. here on a Saturday evening. And we stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We are also a rebroadcast on A2Zen.fm, and that's Sundays at 3 p.m. And then, if there isn't any more, we also archive the programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. Lots of opportunities, as I say, for you to participate as far as listening to the program, checking out our guest, going to their website. We are linked to every single one of our guests, and we encourage you to go to their website and check them out. And to that end, not to by any means sound like some of the programmers that I used to produce for back in the 80s and early 90s, if you're interested in being a part of the work that we're doing here on the program, go to richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. Actually, you want to go to the missions page and read about what we're all about if you don't know. And if you do, then scroll down to the bottom of the page and there's an opportunity for you to become a part of what we are doing here. We can use your help. We can use your support in any way, shape, or form. So do what you can. And we thank you. I'm Richard Dugan, and we are here today talking about a number of different things. One in particular has to do with, we'll talk about, of course, spiritual coaching. We'll talk about healing. We'll talk about a myriad of different things with my guest, who has a very interesting website, and it is called the Spiritual Image Productions. That is the title of the website, and Andrew Aloha is my guest, and I want to welcome you to the program. You are actually, if I am not mistaken, near my old stomping grounds. You're in Sedona, Arizona, is that correct?
That is correct, as we speak now.
And I'm just out of curiosity, not that I really care that much, because I'm sure that it's warm. It's how is the weather there today?
I'll give you one guess. Oh, darn.
I tell you. Yeah.
Another awesome day in paradise. Oh, darn.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. Well, I'm sure glad that you've joined us today, and you're going to share with us about the work that you do. You're a spiritual coach. Give us a little background on what that means and how you coach people on that level.
I do consulting, coaching. I don't know what the best phrase is for what I do. I basically put out the teachings, the same teachings that all the gurus do on the planet, Sai Baba, Amichi, Karuna Mai. I mean, all the people that do the same thing that I do. And I'm not saying that I'm in the same boat with these people, and I'm not saying that I'm not. I'm just saying that they have an understanding of teachings that go beyond, you know, beyond even humanity. They're universal teachings, and basically that's all I do. I teach through role modeling, and that's my main goal. And then the teachings that I put out are very simple. The purpose, mission, goal of my company, Spiritual Image Productions, is to establish and maintain right relationships to the human values, to basically exemplify to people healthy being in healthy relationship with each other and with yourself. So that and then I'm not just saying, oh, well, let's just get along. I'm saying that there's literally a teaching model that I follow, and I am an education major out of Northern Arizona University, but the teaching model that I use is probably the most advanced one on the planet. And again, it's one that all the main teachers on the planet use. It's very simple: prayer, meditation, speaking to God, Goddess, meditation, listening to God, Goddess, reading spiritual inspirational works, music, mantras, affirmations, and some kind of service activity to support all that. So that's basically what I do. The shows that I do on Spiritual Productions Blog Talk Radio are a variety of shows, and I implement and use all those same teachings in all the shows that I do. I have a music show that I do once a month where I air an album and bring on the artist, and we give away three free albums during the show, and then I make that the album of the month, and we'll play some music from that every weekend, and then I even do a meditation at least once a month. I usually do it on the full moon of the month, and literally I have, that's one of my most popular shows. Now, Richard, if you can imagine doing a meditation on radio and playing no music, at the beginning we say what you call a prayer, the prayer of the new age, or the great invocation, and then after that it's more a Zen style of meditation. It's very quiet, and for the most part, and it's, everything's just silence. But yet, that's one of my most popular shows. Can you believe that at all?
Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit. Let's go back just a little bit and talk more about this business of right relationships through human values. And you talked about the five spiritual practices of prayer, meditation, service, sound, music, and inspirational readings. I'm curious, what is meant by not just right relationships, but what is meant by relationships? Then we'll get into the right relationship definition.
Well, again, people are communicating with each other, people acknowledging each other, people working with each other. Relationship is two people or two or more people coming together and communicating in some way, shape, or form. And just by even just a physical gesture is a relationship. I mean, it's a very simple relationship, but that is a relationship. But you can go in debt, or you can go, I mean, there's all kinds of relationships. There's lovers, there's friends, there's mother, daughter, there's father, mother, you know. And, I mean, this weekend is a huge relationship, mother, the relationship of mother.
Yeah.
And all the mothers on the planet are being honored, and rightfully so, especially the ones, all of them. I mean, I'm not saying anyone should be honored more or less than others, but all mothers should be honored, because that is a relationship, the relationship of mother. And the relationship is an attitude, a way of life, a way of actions, words, and deeds. And they can be different for everyone, and they're never the same. And not only that, but they can be in different languages. So, I mean, there's all kinds of relationships that exemplify mother. You know, some mothers have kids, some mothers don't. I'm not saying that's bad or good either way. You know, everybody has their own destiny, their own program, their own lesson plans that they learn here on the while they're here on the planet. And now the most important relationship in this process is one of being grateful and being of gratitude and really thankful for what's going on in the present, right here, right now. And that's probably the most important relationship that exists, whether you're a mother, father, son, a daughter, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's if you want to really pinpoint it down in terms of what reality is all about and what a real relationship is being, breathing, living here, right here, right now. You and I speaking over the phone, here on radio, that's as real as it gets. And we can now behind that we can talk about different facades and different things, and then the relationship can be off kilter and talk about and just be egotistical and talk about, you know, just stupid stuff or fun stuff or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're talking about stuff that's coming from our heart, from our physical, and I'm not just talking about our physical heart, I'm talking about an energetic heart called a heart chakra. I'm not sure if you know, if you're a guest or you know what heart chakra is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming a lot of people do. But there's an energetic system in our bodies that are called chakras. In fact, there's a whole bunch of them, but there's actually seven main chakras in our system right now, in the physical body system. And then on top of that, because of the place we're right now here on planet Earth, and at the time frame that we're here right now, it's very significant, because a lot of people are getting, in my understanding, are getting additional chakras installed into their body system even now. And so, anyhow, and that's a whole different subject. But anyhow, right now the chakra that I'm talking about is the heart chakra, where you have the love energies, the Christed energies pouring through there. and emanating and radiating from there. And the more that you're tapped into that, the more real and reality is in your, and more, the more present you are, the more of an in-depth relationship that you have with yourself and with others as well. If that makes any sense to you.
Yes, indeed. How did Andrew Aloha get interested in going in this direction for his life's purpose?
Well, now, if you go to my website, spiritcomingsproductions.com, on if you go to the mission statement or the mission page, there's a link there. There's I have a whole story about how Spirit Romance Productions evolved, how it became manifest, and how Andrew Aloha evolved. Now, I've lived here in the area in here in Sedona off and on for almost 18 years now, and since I've been here, there's been a whole progression, whole development process. And to me, I think there's an ongoing development process that everybody goes through one way or another, different ways, shapes, and forms. So anyhow, I think what's happened in over the past several years is I've come into being into more of what my soul life purpose is all about versus my personality purpose is all about. I do astrology when I do consultation and coaching and counseling with people. I use astrology, and I'm able to assess. I'm able to make assessments I say this tongue in cheek, but I'm able to make assessment of people inside about 30 minutes to an hour, and know just things about them that most people do not. Versus some people going to a psychologist or psychotherapist and taking years for a psychologist and psychotherapist to get to know somebody and to learn all their quirks and all their strengths and weaknesses. And that's something I can do inside 30 minutes to an hour just with just reading somebody's birth chart. So anyhow, in that process, there's two different types of charts that I do. One is the personality chart, which is more of a Western-based chart where it has to do with the day and the time frame that somebody is born and comes out of the womb. That you know, when you're in the hospital and you're coming out of the womb. So now the other time frame that I use is an esoteric type of a chart. It's what I call the true life purpose chart or the soul chart, and that's about 3 to 4 weeks after the day conception after someone's been conceived. About 3 to 4 weeks. The soul literally comes in and connects with the fetus and makes contact, and then thus at that point, in reality, in its truest nature, a person really is living and breathing and really is alive when that happens. Prior to the fetus is just mostly a vessel for it to be impregnated by the soul, which doesn't occur again. So about 3 to 4 weeks after the day of conception. Anyhow, when I do these charts, I go in and I obtain the soul life purpose chart, and usually people outgrow their their personality charts between the ages of 18 through 25, and then they start living more of the true life, the soul life purpose charts after that. And as eventually people start living and breathing and being their soul, and start doing the things that the soul came here to do versus their personality. And in the meantime, that's what the crucifixion is all about. When they talk about the Bible, you know, there's a crucifixion. Well, the crucifixion has to do with the personality literally having an ongoing battle with the soul, because the personality, you know, which is selfish and greedy and a lot of times ignorant, just wants to do what it wants to do versus it doing what the soul purpose wants to do. And the soul purpose, now the soul, the thing about the soul is the soul is more in congruence and more in harmony with universal law, with the universe itself. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm talking about relationships, I'm not just talking about relationships here on this planet. I'm talking about relationships across the board, throughout the universe. So when people are using this role model, this teaching method that I'm talking about, this this um, the five practices of spirituality to enlightenment, or enlightenment through these practices. I'm talking about these practices are something that you can utilize throughout the universe and be able to maintain a level of intensity, a level of focus, a level of understanding, level of presence on the soul level versus the personality level. Again, personality, not that the personality is bad or good, but the personality is more a, like a childlike type of an energy or essence versus the soul, which is more in harmony with the universe, it's doing things that are in based upon universal law versus man-made law per se. And not that man-made law is bad or good, but today in this present age right now, in this present state right now, man-made law is still needing to catch up with what universal law is all about. It still has a lot of developing and growing to do before it literally gets to the point where they start operating off the same level as a lot of the beings that live throughout the universe, a very high level advanced beings whom operate more on a universal law of principle rather than just man-made law or earth law, if you even want to call it that, if that makes sense to you.
You do a lot of work through a lot of different modalities, and it seems as though you have found time in your busy world, if you will, over the years to learn about these different things. And I want to talk more about that as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story. We're talking with Andrew Aloha. He is on the website spiritualimagesdesign.com. As a matter of fact, we encourage you to go there. We are linked to Spiritual Image Productions. That's spiritualimageproductions.com, and we encourage you to check that out. As I said, we are linked. We're going to come back and talk more, but first we're going to take our short little break. We're going to talk with Beth McDonald of Beth McDonald Consulting, and we will be right back with Andrew Aloha here on Tell Me Your Story.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. I'm here with Andrew Aloha of SpiritualImageProductions.com. And as I was sharing before we went to our last break, Andrew, you do have a lot of different modalities. Matter of fact, I was actually looking at your website, and what I found very interesting in particular on the homepage was basically a statement of dedication that Spiritual Image Productions and Andrew Aloha dedicate this site and services to. And you go down a list of people. Most of them I am familiar with. I've heard of these people. I've heard of the work that some of these entities do. God the Father, God the Mother. Additionally, we dedicate this site and all our services to all our friends, family, brothers, sisters, extensions, ancestors, there we go, tribes in Christ, as well as to all angels, beings, guides, entities of light, and go on and on and on. And I think that one of the things that, again, does rather intrigue me, and I guess I've kind of done this over my lifetime, but it wasn't a real active thing. It was just, it was what I was doing. And maybe, I don't know if you fall under the same category, but I don't hold to a particular belief system that can be categorized. I consider myself eclectic, a broad construct, if you will, of metaphysics, a metaphysician, if you will. I've been trained in certain different healing methods and modalities as well. I'm familiar with the various types of meditation and healing work and cleansing and clearing of the chakras and the list and the meridian energy fields and the meridians. Again, I could, you know, we could sit here and list them all. And I'm just wondering, at what point was it early on in your life that something just clicked on, or did you come into this world saying, I got to do this. I'm going to learn all I can learn from all of these different sources, and I got to put to help people to reach these higher states of right relationship.
So now this goes back to, again, your earlier question of how did Andrew Aloha manifest? How did Spiritual Image Productions become manifest? And
right.
So unlike most, a lot of psychic mediums and psychics out there, many of them have been born with the ability to speak with spirits, with ghosts, with angels, saints, since kids, since they were kids, and sometimes even in the womb. And when I was a child, I don't know all the circumstances, but literally, I don't even tell this to people because it's not significant for me, but it is a factor, is that somehow I jumped off a car and fell on my head. And when that happened, literally I believe I had amnesia until about the age of 5 years old. And all of a sudden, literally when I was, I was in the playground in California, and literally it was like a camera fading into a movie. You know, when you come in, you have the opening credits, and then it everything blacks out and then fades into the movie. Mm-hmm. That's literally what happened to me when I was a kid. All of a sudden, there's a fade in. I'm in a body. I'm in this playground, and all of a sudden I'm talking to these people. I'm dealing with these people. So that's exactly what happened to me. So in that process, what I believe happened is that any psychic ability that I would have had prior to was probably kicked out of my system, or you know, whatever, injured, and so I had to go in and learn the abilities that I have on my own. I had to go learn them on my own as well. So I figured out how to connect with spirit and you know, there's different things that I had to work with. I went through some psychic development classes, learn how to ground, learn how to work with auras, aura technique, and of course astrology has been very, very a mainframe for me in terms of being able to help me with this process, because I go back and cross reference through astrology some different things going on in my life, and then I would, you know, sometimes I would work with spirit, and then different things would go on in my life on that level, and they would match up. So anyhow, Andrew Aloha are out of this process, you know, because I've gone and studied different saints as part of this process in this development. I've gone and studied with Sai Baba, with Maitreya Buddha, with Amici the Hugging Saint, with Karuna Mai, with even Mother Mira to an extent. I've worked with all kinds of beings, including Jesus, Sananda, Saint Germain, all kinds of beings. And I've had most of these people, I've had some kind of telepathic rapport with or another to some level or extent or another at some given point in my life. And sometimes they've just been very small. Sometimes some of these people I work with regularly on different levels, and it's ongoing. And so the relationship that I have with these beings are again, more on a soul level, where we're all working together as a whole, as a movement. Maybe that's a good word for it. In terms of what we're trying to accomplish. And it's funny because a lot of times I will write people, I'll talk to people, and I'll say, when I write them or text them, I'll say, I, we, and I'm not saying I, we, I'm some kind of bipolar person or split personality person. I say I / we when I write people, because I'm not talking about me as Andrew, myself, and I. I'm talking about Andrew Aloha, myself, and I, all the ancestors and all the beings that have come forth before me and allowed me to be here. And so I acknowledge them and I honor them in that way when I say I, we, because I'm also saying not just me as an individual, but us as a collective are relating with you, whoever you are, in this way, if that makes any sense to you.
Yes, it does. And was there ever any discrimination, if you will, or maybe in terms of using your own discernment, in terms of deciding the things that you would follow, or were you really just wanting to absorb as much of everything, as it were, as you could?
I think both. I think both, because I think a lot of the beings that have come across and had a lot of a lot of beings that have come forward and have done a lot of service, I think is a good word, have gone through through their life, in their lifetime. You know, they've gone through a lot of trials and tribulations, if you want to call that, mm-hmm. call it that. And I have gone through a lot of that. And so much of the time that I've been in going to college, going to school, working, and wherever else, doing whatever else, studying other beings, literally going to ashrams in India, in California, different places all over the country, going to different meditation groups. A lot of that had to do with trying to understand, working to understand who I am in relationship to other people, and then also understanding what the main frame is out there in the universe, and understanding what this planet's purpose is, what the universe's purpose is, what the solar system's purpose, what these saints' purpose are. And again, it comes back to the foundation of the five spiritual practices. Just breathing, being here right now, is literally as good as it gets, as simple as it gets. And people just would take the time to understand that for themselves, they wouldn't be so stressed out. They wouldn't be so wigged out on this and that. Or, you know, people would there's whole lives would change just by learning to be in the present right here, right now. So that's how Andrew Aloha was born back in 2003. Well, first of all, prior to that, I had a woman that I had been relating to, involved with as a friend. I went to her, and she said, well, I just got back from Hawaii, and I just got this message. You got to go to Hawaii. I go, what are you talking about? And she goes, well, you got to go to Hawaii and go through some healing and go through some, and it's been like 18 months there. I go, okay, fine, whatever. So anyhow, all this stuff about Hawaii starts coming up in my life, license plates, T-shirts, commercials, all this stuff. And then one morning, you know, when you're half asleep, half awake, I hear this voice in my mind saying, this guy singing in my mind, people are people. People are friends. And this guy, I believe, is from Hawaii. He's a big old Filipino guy that I believe died during that same year. And when I heard that this guy singing in my mind, I said, okay, so I guess I'll go to Hawaii. So I went to Hawaii, and she goes, you got to reclaim your heritage to the Ali'i. Apparently, I used to be a part of the royalty that used to live there in another lifetime. And did whatever. So anyhow, that's what I did. I went to Maui. I lived in Lahaina, which is where they lived at, and I discovered I was this big tall guy by the name of Kapanali, about 7'1". Now, Richard, in 2003, I had an experience with this person. That prior to that, it was just fictional to me. But one day, I was walking down the street in Lahaina, and all of a sudden, him and I were walking in the exact same energy field, and I could feel his energy body. And I thought, wow, this guy is really like a really tall guy, and he's like really like a really like a big, gentle bear. Mm-hmm. I go, well, who are you? He goes, hey, well, I'm Kapanali. I go, well, how tall are you? Because I knew he was tall. He goes, 7'1". And at that point, I go, okay. And so that's when I knew that what this person was talking about was more of more real than I figured. So anyhow, I didn't think anything about it. And only about four years ago, maybe 3 years ago or so, Richard, I discovered that 7'1" was actually kind of short. This woman said, "Yeah, the people from the Polynesian people, the Ali'i, were really tall people, but 7'1" was actually kind of short." Hmm. And I thought, you know, and I'm kind of short in this lifetime. I go, whoa, man, even in that lifetime I was short? Whoa, that was annoying. So, but anyhow, I said, whatever. So anyhow, I take everything in stride. So, yeah. So, you know, and so at that point, I, you know, to me, 7'1" was tall, but, you know, I had no idea, you know, what that meant. So, and she confirmed that, you know, this guy was really this person. So anyhow, so I did. When I came back to Sedona, I lived in Maui for about 7.5 months, and I got to do everything there Richard. Snorkeling trips, bicycling trips, dinner cruises, luau's, helicopter rides, hiking, biking, horseback rides. I mean, everything you can do pretty much in Maui, I did. And inside 7.5 months, I got the red carpet treatment. Of course, I gained about 20, 25 pounds, and I came back and I said, okay, I'm had enough water. I'm going back to California. So when I came back, I went I went to Amici, the Hugging Saints, main ashram of United States. In the United States, her main ashram is in San Ramon, California. So I went there. I did a meditation. I said, hey, some of the devotees were there working, and I said, hey, can I do a meditation here? They go, yeah. So I said, okay. So I did a meditation, and then they go, well, why don't you just stay here and do the Karma Yoga program? I said, okay, sure, why not? So I stayed there for about three and a half months or so, and I helped collect about probably in the neighborhood of about $500,000 worth of used medical equipment for her hospital in India. Me and this other woman would get up. We would usually have only plans for filling up half. You know, I drove this 20-foot truck out and we would pick up all these medical supplies. And usually, we would only have plans to fill it up halfway. Mm-hmm. Halfway full and then come back. But Richard, every time we went out, that truck was completely filled with stuff, completely full. Every mm-hmm. time, no matter what we did, that thing was always full when we came back.
Wow.
And so anyhow, her and I, would sort it all out and unload it and get it ready. And they would send the stuff in containers to her hospital in India where they give out free medical treatments to people. So, and then after that, after about 3 months, 3.5 months there, of course, I lost all the weight. I had to go on a complete vegetarian diet, and they have strict rules of being celibate. And I'm not talking about being abstinent, where there's some kind of sexual activity going on, but celibate, where there's no activity going on, period. And then I turned around and did the tour with her all across the country from Washington to Washington. Literally every year she comes out. And around May, the end of May, beginning of June, she'll start doing her tour. She does a summer tour here in the United States. In fact, she's getting ready to start here pretty soon in about two or three weeks, starting out in Washington, Washington State. She'll go to ashram, stay there for about 2 weeks in June, and then she'll go to Los Angeles. Now, when we went to Los Angeles, it was interesting because I met Martin Luther King's daughter, one of his daughters, Yolanda King. Mm-hmm. And I went up to her and I said, hey, are you planning to go to Amici? At the time, 2003, it was Amici's 50th birthday, and I said, are you planning to go out and to her birthday party in India in September? She goes, well, no, I haven't thought about it. So, and I said, oh, okay, well, you know, I just thought I'd let you know that in case you want to check it out. So I did. We did the tour, and when we did the tour all across the United States, what happened was, the Spiritual Image Productions was born on that tour, and I was working with this other person, and I at the time prior to I had a website called DivineImages.org where I had over 2,000 photos of spiritual events that I had attended, and I posted them on this website, and so out of that, out of doing the tour, across the country with Amici the Hugging Saint, Spiritual Image Productions was born, and I had to figure out what its purpose was, and then when I understood what she was doing and what I in reference to what I had to do for myself, then I knew exactly what its purpose was to fulfill. And that's when after I did the tour, I came back and then I put together the mission statement. I put together the whole everything. I set up the company, and then Spiritual Image Productions was born. And then afterwards, Andrew Aloha was born out of that process. So when I came back, unbeknownst to me, I brought back the Aloha spirit. And last night, I don't know. I did an interview with a woman from. She has a website, a company called Aloha Hawaiian Flowers and Gifts. Her name is Kalee Ashton, and we talked about that last night about what the Aloha spirit is all about being family, about being love, about expression of being present with people. So there was a whole thing we did with the Aloha spirit, and so that I did. I brought that back to Sedona with me, and then Andrew Aloha was born, and so was Spiritual Ones Productions, and that's what we've been working for. Now, when I started doing the radio shows a few years ago, that was all put together and set up, and then about 2 or 3 years later, then the radio shows began. This woman said, hey, why don't you check out this website, Blog Talk Radio? I said, okay. So I started playing around with it. I started doing some meditations. I started doing some, and then eventually I started doing some interviews. And I said, God, if you want me to do these interviews, you're going to have to bring people for me to do these interviews, because I am not going to go all the way my way to do these interviews. Forget it. So literally, that's what's been happening. This whole spiritual image production is a living, breathing organism. Literally, mm-hmm. it's a being, and that's what people don't understand. And Andrew Aloha is also a living, breathing being, but it Andrew Aloha is more like a Mahatma. Do you know what a Mahatma is?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Andrew Aloha is literally a Mahatma, and all these beings that have come together form Andrew Aloha, including myself, and when I say we're talking about us as a collective. We are working with relating to you on people on that level. So that's what's been happening. I one morning I get up, the night before I'm going, well, God, there's nobody to do interviews. I forget it. I'm not going to do an interview. Literally at 7:30 next morning, the mayor of Sedona calls me. Hey, Andrew, do you still want to do the interview? I go, oh, okay, I'm not awake, but okay, sure, why not? So, and that's what, it's just like evolving. This whole thing is just evolving on its own. Eventually, I set up the curriculum to where it's at now. I would do my scheduling, my calendar of 1 or 2 or 3 months in advance. Eventually, I got to the point where I can do the scheduling six months in advance. I shifted things around, and now I do all my scheduling 6 months in advance. And a lot of times, I'll be booked. I'm usually pretty booked three or four months in advance. Mm-hmm. Right now, the music show is booked all the way into September, maybe even October. So I always got stuff going on, and I think in the 4 years that I've done these shows, over 4 years, I've only had to cancel maybe two shows because people didn't show up. But pretty much even when I've had 1 or 2 hours notice that somebody's canceling, I've been able to turn around and fit the bill and bring in somebody else. Mm-hmm. Plug in somebody else to do the show for that night.
Yeah.
So and the one of them, the one of the shows that I canceled, I just canceled it just because I didn't want to. I just said forget it. I'm taking the day off and I'm not going to bother. So I mean, I could have filled it. Could have filled the bill, and I said forget it. I'm just going to go watch a movie. And so it just felt good for me to do that. So anyhow.
Well, now there are all kinds of things going on around us, you. And many people like you have, like you say, you've got things scheduled out 3 to 6 months out and so forth. And I'm wondering about our current events that are happening around us. I don't want to use the word isolate yourself from them, but do they give you cause for any concern of any kind? Or I guess maybe the question is, how do you view the events around us and their interplay when we start talking about all of the various things that you do, the workshops, the classes, and so on and so forth that you have there in Sedona and elsewhere to assist people in, again, having those right relationships? What role does the outside, I'm going to use the term, the outside world play in your world?
Well, okay, now events. What do you mean by events? What does that mean to you?
That means whatever you would see, let's say, on the nightly news. The various events that we hear about, the crimes, the economic ups and downs, the conflicts around the world, the political play amongst the parties in various parts of the world, in the various governments, people who are traveling to and fro and trying to accomplish something. Sometimes they don't even know what it is they're trying to accomplish. Does this outside world, so to speak, the day-to-day, we'll call it less conscious, less aware world, does this play a role, and what role does it play in the work that you do?
Well, it's highly significant because number one, Richard, I don't watch television.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably rarely in the blue moon I'll watch a football game, basketball game, or you know something, but I or maybe some kind of news thing that comes up, but rarely do I watch like. For the last, 4 or 5 years, I've since 2008, 2007 or so, I've not watched television hardly at all. And I don't have a need to, and I don't miss it at all. I've got plenty going on,
mm-hmm.
you know, in my life. I don't even have time to watch TV, even if I want to. But now, the point is, now, just to let you know, give you a little aside, Richard. When people go through their development process, everybody goes through this pretty much. And the beings that you have seen listed on my front page on the front page of Spiritual Ones Productions are all of them pretty much are our brothers and sisters that are along the path, way along the path ahead of us prior to us being prior to us. Period.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, they too have gone through pretty much all the stuff that we're going through, and there's a development process. You know, you go through the first initiation. You demonstrate that you know how to take care of your physical body. Then you go through the second initiation. You go through. You demonstrate that you know how to take care of your emotional body, or at least you demonstrate that you have a level of balance with your emotional vehicle, your emotional regard. And then the third initiation is your mental vehicle, where that's why people go to college and learn most of the time. And then the fourth initiation, you go through this what you call transfiguration and then transcendence process, and then you become a full-fledged per se master. And now and even so, beyond that, there's more levels of initiations, and beyond that, where you become and the thing is, you become more and more conscious as you go through the development processes. You go through more and more. Your consciousness becomes more expanded from personal events to worldly events to galactic events to universal events and so on. So now, when I do my practices, my regular practices, Richard, I always include the planet, the people on the planet, everybody on the planet, in my support of them, regardless of where they're at. And everybody's where they're at because that's where they're at. I mean, no matter what I do, I can go out of my way to help somebody out, be a hero and try to help somebody out, and get them out of a situation. But guess what, Richard? They go back and repeat it again and do it again. And a lot of people like being in their dramas. And I'm not interested in being in those dramas. Now the people that I really like to work with, or that I really do work with, are the ones that I are interested in helping themselves. And that's because otherwise, if I'm just helping somebody just to be a hero, I'm feeding the codependent drama program that goes on everywhere. And after a while of doing this over and over and over, people get tired.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard, I'm not Superman. I'm not even pretending to be Superman. Forget it. So I show people how to help themselves. I work with them, and when I'm consulting, when I'm doing counseling, and I give them ideas. I give them different things that they can work with that will allow them to help themselves. And if people don't want to do that, believe you me, it's not going to hurt my feelings. Like, there's plenty of other people out there,
mm-hmm.
that are interested in working and helping themselves, and I don't mind helping those people out. Now, the ones that don't want to help themselves, there are various reasons they don't want to help themselves, but inevitably, unless they decide to help themselves, it's not going to do me very, very much good at all to help them out, and until they do. So I just, a lot of times I'll I'll just wait, or I'll just keep doing, do what I'm doing. Eventually, they'll find somebody that they can work with that'll allow them to help themselves sooner or later. But inevitably, I when people are dealing with Andrew Aloha, they're not dealing with a personality. They're dealing with a whole way of life. It's a way of living, breathing, and just being. Period. If that makes any sense.
It does indeed, and what the sense that I get from our conversation here is that, number one, you're a very energetic individual, very high energy, if you will, and you're also quite down to earth to a greater or lesser degree, just because I think that's important to be able to relate to the people that you work with. But at the same time, just as you stated, you don't want to get wound up and drawn into their drama. That's not what you're there to do. You're there to help them, to assist them in getting out of their drama. And I can speak from personal experience. I've had enough of the drama. It's time to end the dramas and move on to bigger and better things, which is part of what this program is all about. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I'm talking with Andrew Aloha of Spiritual Image Productions, and spiritualimageproductions.com is the website. Andrew has a lot of different things going on. You need to go to the website and check out all of the various aspects of what he does. And is it all right for me to give out, I know that this is, well, I guess it is, because it's listed on your website. People, if they want to contact you, they can call 928-310-1700. That's 928-310-1700 to set up an appointment, arrange an appointment with you for the various things that you do. You also have an email address, which is spiritualimageproductions@yahoo.com. And again, people can go to the website and they can get more information about everything that you do provide, the type of support and help. You'll basically be facilitating them, if you will. I think that's probably the way that would be termed out.
Yeah, that's the best terminology to use. Absolutely.
One of the things that I find real interesting, now you have chosen to reside, at least for the present, or maybe I'll put it another way. The universe has decided for you to reside in Sedona, Arizona. And I'm very familiar with Sedona. I know of its history. I know of its sacredness as far as the various sites around the area. But I also know of its diminishing value as that kind of a space because of the influx of people. Everybody wants to be there. And it's almost as though this is the only site on the planet, or at least in the States. And I'm beginning to see television programs where they're finding new sites, if you will, around the United States that you think of Stonehenge, you think of the pyramids of Egypt, you think of the Taj Mahal in India, you think of a lot of these other places in other parts of the world that people consider to be sacred sites, Mount Everest and the temples in Tibet and Nepal and so forth. But you don't think about that when you think of the United States. And yet I would venture that the Native Americans, they know of a lot of sacred sites from coast to coast, from the northern parts of the country to the south. Sedona isn't the only one.
You know, Richard, I got to say this because a sacred site is like an ashram. Mm-hmm. And there's ashrams all over the world. And those, to me, are the same thing as a sacred site. And a sacred site is a place where people are conscious about what's going on in their lives, and they're conscious about being healthy, being in right relationship, being working with each other and being in harmony with each other, and it's like a temple and like a monastery. So literally, it doesn't matter where you live, and this is why I do Spiritual Image Productions blog talk radio shows, Richard, and why I enjoy doing them, and because I like to let people know and understand that your own house, it doesn't matter where you live on the planet, your own house is a sacred site. So as long as you believe it and acknowledge it and respect it as such and treat it as such, absolutely every house on this planet is a sacred site. So as long as people choose for their temple to be a sacred site, if people don't want to do that, it's not going to hurt my feelings,
I hear you.
People have that choice.
And that's a very, very important point that you make, that where you live can be just that. I have to tell you that before we moved to Santa Barbara, California, we lived there in Phoenix, in North Phoenix, in a beautiful little home, a two-bedroom, and we worked on it, in terms of trying to increase its value like a lot of these flippers do. You know, they go around, they buy homes, they fix them up, and they sell them for two or three times more, which is part of what has created part of the problem with the real estate market. But needless to say, we were doing it because it was our home. It wasn't just a house. And we would have people come over who would be commenting upon the warmth, the just how beautiful a space it was. And we knew it was because of the things that we'd been doing. But it was so nice to know that people were picking up on that. And I have to say, it was one of the hardest things to do, to sell that house and move to Santa Barbara. If we could have put that thing up on wheels and brought it with us if we could have. Because
that's how important
it was.
One of the things that I do here in Sedona is on the side is carpentry or handyman stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I do is literally help people with activating their home.
Mm.
There's a lot of things that you can do to your home that will allow it to be a sacred site. Now, one of the first things you can do is put an altar in your house.
Oh, yes.
Immediately, that's the first thing you can do that will immediately get it into that direction right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put a mirror there, put a flower, and you want to put all the different types of elements of the earth on there.
Mm-hmm.
Earth, air, water, fire. Fire, you can put candles or incense. Yeah, earth, you can put incense or just different things that would represent the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Even books or whatever. Air, you can put in feathers. You can even put books that were, you know, people read, and that creates
mm-hmm.
Air. And then water, of course, you could put like a little fountain or a little bowl with a flower in it or whatever, which
mm-hmm.
flowers also are earth.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then you put in your pictures of your loved ones or your favorite deities or whatever. But immediately, if people, and you always want to have it face, if you can, face it towards the east or close to the east as you can, or just in a space where you feel most, you know, where it's right. But immediately, that's the first thing that you can do right away that will allow you to begin to make your home a sacred site, sacred place, a temple, and get you in the right direction. Absolutely.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that's great. I know that there would actually be people who would come to my wife Amrita, and they would ask her if she could come over to their house and do what she did to hers, to ours, you know. And actually, she did on occasion. She would give them suggestions at the very least. But I mean, she, first of all, she has a knack for that. And she just, you know, has the ability to generate a sacred space out of almost what seemingly nothing. And we had a beautiful fireplace and a beautiful backyard that we were actually sort of converting into our version of Ireland, with green grass and these giant shade trees and so on and so forth, and a beautiful greenhouse that, again, we had to leave behind, sadly. But I think that when you decide that this is the place I want to be for a good while, you even if you're renting, you can still do this. Start to place things of spiritual, if you will, or a value, even emotional value, on that altar.
I take my altar with me all the time. You know, sometimes if I'm driving to a place, I'll put my altar on my car, on the dash of my car. I mean, you could put these altars anywhere, in businesses, in homes, in your cars, your vehicles. And then the other thing you can do, Richard, real quick, because I know we're running out of time,
mm-hmm.
is you can ask in, Archangel Michael, Archangel Metatron. You can talk, you know, ask Jesus, whoever, whatever deities you'd like to work with, and ask them to place their energies, their flames, their spirit, their presence, essence, at all four corners of the building that you live in, or mm-hmm. the vehicle that you're in,
mm-hmm.
and also above it and below it, and ask them to clear the area of all negativities and entities, and replace them with their love, and then that they stay there throughout your presence there, throughout your living there, or whatever. and that's something you can do really quick. Again, and you can do that with anything, with businesses, with vehicles, with homes, whatever, and even if you're there temporary or in a hotel or whatever, even for a night, you can do that right away. And that, again, you have immediate sacred space right there, right on the spot, wherever you're at. It doesn't matter where you're at, what you're doing.
Before we wrap up the program, and we are getting close to the end here, I have a few questions that I ask of all of my guests. I am not looking for any particular responses other than yours, whatever they may be. You may have answered these questions throughout the interview, but I still ask these questions directly. Number one is, who is Andrew Aloha?
And we talked about that. If you still don't understand who Andrew Aloha is, just go to my website and you'll get plenty of Andrew Aloha there. Absolutely.
Okay. What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
Again, we talked about that already. It's so simple, Richard. Anybody can do it. They just have to want to do it. Just be present. Just be here, right now. Just be in your space. Just be who you are. There's no need to be anything or anybody else. That's it.
And how powerful are we as human beings?
How powerful. It's not even about power. Again, it's just about being. And power just shows up whenever it wants to. It's as long as there's an intention behind it that people want to work with it if they want to. And it does, you know, it's just on whatever needs to be accomplished or whatever's happening in the moment. You know, there's so much power and so much stuff going on. People can be in their power, just being in their presence, and that can be huge. And yet people can go out of the way to try to be in power, and those people are so weak a lot of times because of the way they do it. So it just varies.
Let my listeners know that if you are listening to the radio broadcast, there's more to this interview. It's called the Afterview. If you're listening to AtoZen.fm, there's more to this interview. There's the Afterview. Go to RichardDugan.com, the radio show's page, and listen to the entire interview. Andrew Aloha, thank you so much for joining us on the program. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much for having me. Have a God-goddess weekend. Be the love that you are, always have been, and always will be. Aloha.
I'm Richard Dugan, and a reminder that you can hear this program Saturdays, 3 p.m. regularly. If it's a ball game day, then it's usually going to be 7 p.m. And then, of course, on Sundays at 3 p.m. at AtoZen.fm and the archives page at RichardDugan.com, the radio show's page. I'm Richard Dugan, and we encourage you to join us whenever you can for Tell Me Your Story. New paradigms for a new world, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And a happy Mother's Day to my mother out there in Phoenix. And until next time, love to Lal.